The container ship El Faro left Jacksonville on September 29, 2015, heading straight toward what would become Hurricane Joaquin. Officers voiced concerns, weather forecasts screamed warnings, yet Captain Michael Davidson dismissed every doubt with phrases like, "We're good," and "We're not going to turn around." Days later, all 33 crew members were dead, and the ship rested on the ocean floor. The tragedy wasn't caused by faulty equipment or lack of information. It was caused by language. The captain's words shut down questioning, created fear of speaking up, and trapped everyone in a pattern of obedience that proved fatal. What if changing just a few words could have saved those lives? What if the same language patterns sinking ships are quietly undermining your workplace every single day? In 2010, the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded, killing 11 workers and creating a massive environmental disaster. Alarms screamed, gas levels reached dangerous thresholds, yet workers waited for permission to activate the emergency disconnect switch. How could someone be more afraid of pushing a button without permission than dying in a fiery explosion? This is what happens when organizations operate as hierarchy first, despite claiming safety first. Fear completely distorts common sense. Your most productive days involve switching between two modes. Red work is execution, doing, checking boxes, keeping things moving. It craves consistency and abhors surprises. Blue work is thinking, questioning, reimagining, determining which boxes matter. It thrives on variability and needs breathing room. The Industrial Revolution embedded a class divide. Managers think, workers do. Frederick Taylor made it explicit in 1911. "We do not want any initiative. All we want of them is to obey." This legacy persists. We hold innovation sessions as if creativity isn't everyday work. We praise can-do teams as if questioning shows weakness. We split people into leaders and followers as if some are built to think while others merely execute. The truth? Everyone must alternate between red and blue, between doing and thinking, between executing and questioning. Our language just hasn't caught up. At the 2017 Oscars, Warren Beatty opened the wrong envelope. Under stress and live broadcast momentum, his brain shifted to pure execution mode. Without a practiced pause ritual, he handed the card to Faye Dunaway, who announced La La Land, leading to Hollywood's most awkward moment when the real winner, Moonlight, had to be announced mid-celebration. The first leadership play, control the clock, don't obey it. Nuclear submarines use hands off to stop and reassess. Toyota gives workers an on-don cord to halt production when something seems wrong. The key is practicing these pauses when unnecessary, making them normal. Think of agile sprints, intense red work bookended by planning and reflection, with leadership prohibited from redirecting mid-sprint. That blue-red-blue rhythm creates both focus and learning. We call our meetings collaborative, but watch what happens. The boss states an opinion. Everyone nods. Someone offers a different perspective. The boss explains why they're correct. This is coercion wearing a friendly mask. True collaboration requires a counterintuitive move. Vote first, then discuss. Solomon Osh proved this with a vision test. Alone, people answered correctly 99% of the time. Surrounded by actors giving wrong answers, one-third conformed. When just one person dissented, participants felt safe voicing truth. Leaders must speak last, invite dissent actively, and be curious rather than compelling. Instead of park there, try, "I see a parking spot there." Give information, not instructions. Coercion gets compliance. Collaboration gets commitment. Compliance means following orders. Commitment means owning outcomes. In red work, commit to testing hypotheses, not just executing decisions. Framework as experiments where observations inform future choices. Break commitments into smaller chunks with decision points between red work periods. El Faro's captain fatally committed to the entire Atlantic route at once. Had he committed only to the first checkpoint, then reassessed before the next leg, the crew would have had escape options as the hurricane intensified. Intel's Andy Grove broke this pattern with a thought experiment. Imagine you're fired and new leaders take over. What would they decide? This psychological separation helped Intel pivot from memory chips to microprocessors. Separating decision makers from decision evaluators creates space for honest reassessment, countering our tendency to persist despite mounting evidence of failure. The industrial age avoided interruptions to maximize production, creating dispirited workers whose days merged without progress. Completion requires celebration and reflection. Skip generic praise like "good job." It positions you as judge. Use descriptive statements. "I noticed you invited feedback from everyone before deciding." Carol Dweck's research shows praising attributes, "you're so smart," makes people avoid challenges. Acknowledging controllable behaviors, dedication, careful review, inviting dissent, encourages repetition. Focus on journey, not destination. In distributed workplaces, invite people to share their stories. Stanford research shows journey metaphors increase goal-aligned behaviors more than outcome focus. After red work comes blue work for improvement. Most post-mortems feel like autopsies, where people defend actions. Internal conflict between our be good self, defending past work, and get better self, seeking learning. To activate the get better self, focus forward. What do we want to do differently? Focus outward. How could we better serve customers? Focus on process. How could this be done better? Aim to achieve excellence, not avoid errors. Error avoidance creates inactivity bias. For significant failures, create two timelines: red work, what physically happened, and blue work, key decisions. This separates outcomes from thinking, allowing honest examination without attacking identities. Connection enables all other plays: collaboration, commitment, completion, and improvement. Without psychological safety, none work. To create connection, flatten the power gradient. Stop doing things to or for people and start doing things with people. Instead of "I need you to make a decision," say "we need to decide about this." Admit you don't know. When leaders acknowledge uncertainty, team members feel safe admitting their own gaps. All learning starts with "I don't know," followed by "let's find out." Be vulnerable. El Faro's captain projected invulnerability with statements like "we're good" and "we're not going to turn around." Had he said "I'm a little freaked out," or "how is everyone feeling about this?" crew members would have felt empowered to express concerns. Trust first. Don't require people to prove themselves before extending trust. People unlock discretionary effort when trusted from the start. Language shapes reality. Industrial age terms like command and control built organizations for predictable execution. Today demands continuous adaptation in uncertainty. The new playbook: control the clock to create thinking space. Collaborate by voting before discussing and speaking last. Commit to learning. Break big decisions into smaller chunks and celebrate journeys. Improve by focusing forward on process, not backward on blame. Connect through vulnerability and flattened power gradients. Imagine if El Faro's captain had used this language. He establishes rapport before departure. As the storm intensifies, the officer calls a pause. They vote on routes, commit only to the first checkpoint, and reassess at midnight. When conditions worsen, they divert despite delays. The ship arrives damaged, all 33 crew survive. Your workplace might not involve hurricanes, but the same patterns play out daily. People staying silent, leaders dismissing concerns, teams executing plans everyone privately doubts. The stakes might seem lower, but the human cost accumulates. Change your language, change your leadership. It starts with your next conversation.